Well, A Splinter of Ice is on at the Cambridge Arts Theatre this week. Normally I'd rope Nicola Upson in to do a review on it. Nicola is away on other missions, and so I'm joined on the line today by Angela Singer. Angela, hello there.
Hello.
Lovely of you to join us. You went along last night. What did you think?
I thought it was a very interesting play. I thought it was absolutely fascinating. It gently takes you through the adult life of Kim Philby, which was very checkered. I mean, he had four wives and often hadn't finished, really, a relationship with the first one before he went on to the next one. He also slept with other people's wives, and according to history, he betrayed his country. But his story is much more nuanced than that. There were principles behind what he did, and he comes across as a very human person. You see him in an imagined conversation, although the two did meet, with the author Graham Greene.
Right. Because they worked together, didn't they? Because Graham Greene was MI5 or MI6, one of the
two? MI6. They both worked at MI6, and that's how they knew each other. But at this point in the play, they haven't met for over 30 years.
Right.
And they're both old men. And they've both mellowed, if you like, and they're able to reflect on what their life has been and what it has meant to themselves and their country.
Because it must have been very interesting and quite difficult for Graham Greene, because there he is, so very much suddenly in the public eye, and there's all this going on. People would know, or well, I guess perhaps they didn't know at the time, because it's a far more secretive organisation back in those days, wasn't it?
They may not have known that, but they would have known, because Graham Greene was one of the very few people who defended Philby and stood up for him. So he had lined himself up with him, and he did go to Russia to see him, because, you know, Philby defected in 63, because he was uncovered. And one of his children did go out to see him there. He wasn't completely isolated, but he was very disappointed with what he found when he got to Moscow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, isn't it? And a terrible irony.
Yes, yeah. So we're talking about this as an imaginary conversation. What's it based on, though? How has Ben Brown written the play?
It's based on the fact that they did meet, that they did have a conversation. It's just like the audiences with Queen and Prime Ministers. You don't really know what they said.
Right.
But it's been written about that as well, where you imagine the dialogue. So it's based on Philby's life, and how much of a betrayal was what he did, and where his principles lay. And that's where the Splinter of Ice title comes in, because Graham Greene said the novelist has in his heart, or her heart, has in their heart, a splinter of ice, but a spy has a whole icicle. So it's about the coolness that you need when you're determined to do something. It's a splinter of ice. I mean, you could talk about that with athletes. Anyone who has to be single-minded, has to be determined to achieve what they do. You could say they have a splinter of ice in their heart because they won't be distracted from what they do. And Philby left five children when he left England. He probably thought he could take them with him. He wasn't unable to. That was one of the disappointments when he got to Moscow. He wasn't able to bring his family over. Well, certainly not immediately, but probably not at all. And he was disappointed, as I said, with what he found there. Mm-hmm. He still thought the principles of communism were good, you know, to each according to his ability, you know.
But not when the shops are empty.
Yes. And he was disappointed at how old people lived.
Yeah. Yes, yes,
he
indeed.
He became one of them.
Yeah, indeed. And in terms of the actual production, I would imagine that it's quite a static production, is it? Because it is just, presumably, just two people talking.
It's three people because Philby's last wife, the Russian wife, Rufina, is there, and she is good. Karen Asko plays her. It doesn't feel static. I mean, they do physically move about. They're constantly drinking. But it doesn't feel static because the conversation is really entertaining. It's quite engrossing. It's like a little verbal tennis match. So it's easy to watch and listen to it. It's very pleasurable. Yes.
And I would guess if you're someone who knows the story, it's going to be of historical interest as well as just... even for someone who doesn't know the story, it's still a relationship discussion between two people meeting 30 years on, am I right?
Yes, if you don't know the story, you will know the story because it unfolds, because they
Right.
reference all the points in Kilby's life and some in, sorry, Philby's life, and some in Graham Greene's as well, and about their what they did together. So it unfolds in front of you. But you
Excellent.
could go there. I mean, it's probably better. It's always better if you look a bit up and have a bit of knowledge, but you don't actually necessarily need it. It's there, set out for you.
Fantastic. All right, well, it's on at the Arts Theatre through till Saturday. It's got evening performances at 7:30, matinee performances on Thursday and Saturday at 2:30. Tickets are priced £20 to £35 through the Cambridge Arts Theatre website. Angela, thank you. First one done. I'm sure Nicola will go, great, I can go off on holiday again now and leave Angela to it. So are you like Nicola? Do you camp out at the Arts Theatre wherever possible?
I try and go most weeks. Yes, I've been reviewing the place there for something like 25 years. So most weeks, if I'm invited, I will go and enjoy it.
Fantastic. Well, I'm
Yes.
sure we're going to speak again at that way, but thank you very much indeed for taking time to talk to us about that. Splinter of Ice by Ben Brown on this week at the Cambridge Arts Theatre. Angela Singer, thanks very much indeed for talking to us.